So beautiful to be able to praise the Lord, to remember Him. I introduced this time earlier just to say how much has been on my heart to make Easter a greater priority in my home, in my family. And the scriptures that we're reading to me are so powerful. The first one that we read was the crucifixion story, at least the tail end of it, where Jesus, the perfect God, is tried and punished for crimes He never committed. And all He did was try and love us. He didn't try, He actually succeeded. And Jesus was a different kind of guy. Because everywhere He went, though He encountered sin, sin never stuck to Him or clung to Him or hurt Him. Whenever He walked to somebody who was hurting, He would heal them. And He would share with them true love. Whenever Jesus encountered a moment or circumstance that for everyone else in the room was overwhelming, Jesus was always the answer to everything. And what's amazing to me is as he goes to the cross, as He's tried and condemned, He goes to the cross, and you think all those guys who followed Him around would follow Him all the way there because they had seen firsthand this love poured out. Peter, at one point in Scripture, he says, Jesus, everyone else has abandoned you, but actually Jesus says, guys, everyone else abandoned me. Are you going to go too? And Peter said, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so at the cross, when Jesus is being beaten and tortured, as He's being led like a lamb to the slaughter, the Scripture says, all of His friends are gone. He's all by Himself, and He's hanging on this cross, and the only guys, not the only guys, a lot of guys are saying terrible things to Him, but the two guys who are hung there beside Him start insulting Him and criticizing Him and hurling curses at Him. Oh yeah, if you were really the Son of God, why don't you save us and save yourself? And all of a sudden, what happened all throughout the Bible that we read is Jesus' righteousness convicts one of their hearts. And all of a sudden, one of the guys who was hurling insults at them says, no, we got to shut up. We deserve this. We deserve to be here, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus never did anything wrong. Jesus, when you go to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus, in the midst of the most unbelievable suffering, says the most beautiful thing and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Because the perfect God, in every moment, was always perfect. His love was unfailing, even when He was hurting, even when He was suffering, even when nothing in the natural sense could He bear. His love never failed, and it never fails. And so next, this incredible thing happens when Jesus is on the cross. He says these three powerful words. He is finished. And all of a sudden, everything that once separated us from God, the impassable obstacle that we could never overcome, suddenly becomes but a request of the Father. Lord, I need You. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, no matter how hard I work and how much I strive, no matter what I do, I will never be able to get back to right standing with You. Because the sin that entered into the world at the fall, the very beginning of time, I can never overcome. But now suddenly, the perfect God entering in the flesh, setting the perfect example, dying perfectly, bore my sin and took God's wrath for me. It's this impossible and this amazing exchange. And so while our sins are dealt with there on the cross, Jesus doesn't leave anything to question in our minds. Instead, 3 days later, we have this amazing moment. And again, we read this scripture that all of a sudden, there's this unbelievable earthquake. The angel comes down. The earthquake hits and the angel pushes that stone out of the way. But was that stone holding Jesus back? And this is what's amazing. The women are there and they watch. And the angel pushed that stone out of the way. The guards drop to the ground like they're dead. And the angel says, what are you doing? What are you looking for? Jesus isn't here. He's already risen. This is what's so amazing about it. That stone in that tomb couldn't hold back our Savior. But that stone restricted those from going in and seeing the proof, the evidence. And this is what's so beautiful about the nature of our God. Is that He doesn't just do the impossible and the amazing and then leave it alone and say, no, don't question me and don't ask me and don't look for it. Instead, what he says, no, I'm going to send an angel who will push that stone out of the way so you can go in and see for yourself. And this is the challenge this morning. I've had it on my heart all week to ask about peace. Because we live in a world that is so full of chaos and disruption. There's seldom a day that goes by that I don't talk to someone or encounter someone who says, life is busy and crazy. It's nuts. I can't handle it. And maybe they don't say I can't handle it out loud, but that's what their heart is screaming. It's too much for me. And this is the verse that's been on my heart in John 14. You don't have to turn, but I'll read it. It's just three verses. Jesus says this. He says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you might believe. And this idea of peace has been so heavy on my heart, overwhelmingly this week. To say Jesus makes this profound statement before he dies, and he says to his disciples, guys, we're hanging out and you love me. And you love this time. In fact, it goes to the point where Peter, when Jesus says, Peter, I'm going to, in fact, tell all the disciples, I'm going to die. Peter says, no, Jesus, don't do that. We got a great thing going on. Jesus, you take care of us. You give us everything we need. And then Peter says, and Jesus rather rebukes him. See, this is why. Jesus says, if I don't go to the Father, my peace does not rest upon my children. So this is my question and my challenge. It's been a challenge on my heart all week. Has been, do we live in God's peace? Do we, and it's not that we don't encounter challenge and struggle. It's that when we do we know who to go to? Do we know who to lay our burdens on? Do we know who is our Savior and our Redeemer? Do we know the one who is ready and quick to save? Because our God is one that does not make a proclamation or a promise unless he offers proof. Because there's no God like our God. If I stood up here this morning and I just told you this stuff because I read it in my Bible, but I didn't believe it or I didn't live it, then I would inherently be a hypocrite. But I have the great joy and excitement of sharing it because I know it's true, but what's more is because I've experienced it. And because every morning when I wake up, I get to spend time with my Father who loves me, who I get to bring my challenges and my struggles to, and he gets to pour his peace over me. If you're sitting here this morning and you have no idea who this God is, I had this opportunity this week to go out and talk to a bunch of guys. I praise the Lord for it. And we went out, and myself and another guy who loves the Lord, and we were going out there, we were talking to this one guy, and he said, oh yeah, I recognize you from church. And I said, oh, that's cool, so you know Jesus. And he said, no, I know of Jesus. So I said, oh, that's okay. And he goes, no, actually, I go there because I find it so peaceful. See, this is the crazy truth of when God's presence comes, and I believe God's presence rests upon his people, that things happen and things take place that is a foretaste of his promise to each one of us. So there are those who aren't Christians who come and they say, I love being here because I feel something I don't feel anywhere else. But I'll tell you the truth is that you are called to receive him as a Savior. You're called to revel in him, to enjoy every minute with him. He longs for you, and he's pursued every single one of us since actually before time began, when this whole plan of salvation was prepared. So I'm going to ask something that's bold, and it really is. In Matthew 10, Jesus makes this wild statement. He says, those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. So this is where it gets, as I say, bold. If there's anybody here who's felt that tug on their heart from the Lord, who says, I don't know this Jesus, but I know there's something I need. There's something I'm missing. I want you to stand up right now. I want you to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I want you. I want you to be in every part of my life. There's something I'm missing, and either I've seen it here or I've experienced it somewhere. but I need it everywhere in my life. And I don't know you today, Jesus, but I want to. Because this is the amazing thing. I got another beautiful Bible verse. This is the amazing thing of what Jesus offers. This is in John chapter 1. John writes, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And there's two powerful statements. I'm going to reiterate my request. The first is, it's amazing to me that when we receive Christ, we become born of God. Suddenly, the scripture says we become a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. We are forever marked and different. The other one that is profound, this is what I mentioned earlier from Matthew 10, is that I am so excited for Jesus to look down at me and say, "That's Jonathan. I'm proud of him, Dad. He's my friend." I want Jesus to acknowledge me before his Father. So I don't think you could find a room full of more loving and compassionate people than you have here. So if today's the day the Lord's been calling you to salvation, I want you to stand up. I want to read one more scripture. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 22. Actually, 22, 22. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who were asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Danny read a beautiful portion of scripture in Romans 5. And it said, "While we were yet sinners, and at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And I love that. I love the power that's in that truth in the scripture. We are told, this is the 1 Corinthians passage I read, we're told that we're to be alive in Christ. Well, in the same way that the women who ran to that tomb with something in mind that was not to see it empty, they had every intention of finding a body, God moved mightily and he showed them something they weren't expecting. The impossible. But he didn't say, "Take my word for it." He said, "Now go in. I'm going to show it to you. I want you to see for sure with your own eyes that Christ is risen." I want to ask everyone who's here. If you're a Christian, you know Jesus, you have a relationship, you've been made new, but you don't live in that place of peace every single day. That is empty and is missing in your life. It doesn't mean your salvation's in question. Absolutely not. But the question is, are you experiencing the fullness of God in every minute of your day? And I don't ask if, I ask if you're willing. Because again, I told you, I can read this Bible and it's full of truth all day, and I can be right about every single point. But if I have not received it and experienced in my life, it's just words. And while these words carry power, I've experienced it. And I know firsthand that my God's heart loves when we go to him openly and honestly and say, "Lord, I'm not living the way I feel I should. I'm living with guilt, or I'm living with shame, or I'm living with condemnation. I'm not living with your peace. I don't experience your grace. I don't know your mercy." Because we have a loving Father, and I love the song we sang that said, "He is worthy of it all." I ask you, I challenge your hearts, is he worthy of it all? Is Jesus so worthy that we should long for every minute of our lives to be marked by him, to be changed by him, that we should walk in every moment and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that when I got in my car this morning, it started. Lord, thank you that I get to go to my work and I get to talk to people who don't know you. And I don't just get to be a quiet, subtle 007 super spy Jesus Christian." Because I know that I lived it for a long time. And it sounds funny, but it's not. But I say, "Lord, thank you that I get to walk into the room and when I see a guy hurting, I get to walk over and say, 'Man, how are you doing?' And he gets to say, 'I'm not doing good.' And I get to say, 'I know somebody who gives peace. Can I pray with you? My Jesus, he's done it in my life.'" Because I want to tell you the truth. If you have not experienced what this is, you will always struggle and doubt that Jesus will do it for someone else. So I said, I'm going to be bold. Again, this is Matthew 10, I think it's 32, where Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So this is that if you want your life to be different, if you want your life to be marked by Christ and changed and transformed, if you want to give Jesus a window and an opportunity, if you're willing to respond to the challenge this morning that says, I want my life to be different. I don't know what being sold up for Jesus looks like, but I want that. I want to be marked and transformed. I want you to stand up right now. We're going to pray together. Oh, Father, I love you. I praise you and I thank you. Oh, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are true and faithful, that you are loving and kind. And you say, all those who come to me, I will not turn away. Father, as a church, we should want every moment of every day to be committed to you. And Lord, we need to be transformed by you, and only you can do that. But I praise you, Lord, that you don't ask us just to take you at your word, but you give us proof. When we stand up, we boldly proclaim, I want more, Lord, because what I'm experiencing, what I'm living, is not what the Bible tells me I should be doing. It should be living, it should be experiencing. Jesus, thank you for the example you set. Thank you for preparing the hearts of your people. Thank you in Jesus' name for boldness, but boldness that comes from living it, experiencing it, and rejoicing in it at every moment. I praise you, Lord, that you are not just word and deed, your power, and that you love to co-labor with your people. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name for everything in what Easter, because we would be dead without you. Worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.